Welcome to the Calm Nights, Strong Days podcast. With over 30 years in the health and wellness industry, I've realized there's no one-size-fits-all solution for sleep and stress resilience. What affects one person's sleep and ability to handle stress is different for each of us. The stage of life you're in, work and home stressors, and more all affect how your body handles stress and your quality of life. Join me as we explore a variety of tools, strategies, and solutions I've employed with clients over the years in solo episodes, as well as insightful interviews and experts. Together, we'll unravel more pieces of the puzzle, empowering you on your journey to calm nights and strong days. So let's dive into today's episode. Welcome to the Calm Nights, Strong Days podcast. Today we have a guest, and I am very excited about this because when we have a guest, you were really able to dive into the reality of things. And today it is going to be all about marriage and the stresses and struggles with marriage and how this guest actually starts getting you out of these situations. That didn't sound really worded right. I'm sure that you'll be able to word this a lot better than I can in that. So today we have Nancy Ma. And Nancy is from The Golden Marriage, where she actually works with her husband. So Nancy, I'm so excited to have you here. And I'm going to let you introduce yourself. And I'm sure you'll do a better job than I just
did. Yeah, well, I have been with my husband for 24 years, and I don't think that, actually 23, I don't think that the length of time, it really makes us experts at this. I think it's all the things that we've been through in that time where we've done all the quote unquote wrong things. We've been through a lot of heartache and trauma and pain in our relationship, and we've inflicted these hurts on each other over the years. And we've been able to get stronger and have built a closer and deeper relationship and build an amazing family. And we really feel like we can leave this legacy of love for our kids. And it doesn't come from, you know, just rainbows and butterflies. It comes from a place of learning. And, you know, when we look at all the things that we've been through and we see what other couples go through, and we're like, wow, what we've been through, this would break up most marriages, you know, but we found a way to grow stronger because of these things. And you know, we started working together because, our background is we went to school to be physiotherapists. So, you know, as a physiotherapist, I get a very intimate look into people's lives, like what causes them pain, what are their goals, what's their health like? And when I started into pelvic floor physiotherapy, where, you know, we're going even more intimate. What's your sex life like? Where do you feel pain in your genitals? What are your deepest fears? And what is holding you back? It's like all this stuff that's related to are the most intimate and vulnerable parts of us. That just kind of blew things open for us in that we realized, wow, so many people struggle with their relationship and they don't talk about it. And it's in the not talking about it in a safe place with the right tools, with the right guidance, that people are struggling like big time. And so when I started to share like, hey, I've been through similar struggles too, and this is how we got out of it, they're like, whoa, can your husband talk to my husband? Can he help with this? And we're like, you know what? We really should do this work together because we both care so much about helping people with their health and their journey, and just both of us working as coaches, that we're like, you know what, we should do this together. So that's kind of how The Golden Marriage was born.
So many questions pop in my mind. I'd like to go back to this pelvic floor physiotherapy.
Yes.
So I guess, and in something that you said as well, in that, you know, in any physio, you're finding it where their traumas are, where they're hurting, like all of that. And in my mind, I was thinking, I've had physiotherapists that haven't asked me those questions per se about that in a way that I would answer them about emotional pains or about actual things that are going on. So if I was going to a physiotherapist, I feel that I would be more logical, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Just, this is where it hurts. This is how I hurt it. There it is. So already I'm seeing a distinction in how you approach things. So what, with, I guess, two questions with the pelvic floor. First off, why does somebody go to pelvic floor therapy for those that are not even aware of what pelvic floor therapy is about? Why would they go to somebody for pelvic floor therapy? And then why would you ask questions about things other than the, I'm not saying the actual, like the actual injury, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. I'll answer the second question first.
Okay.
So we have one body and we are, all of our parts are connected to all of our other parts. And if you is just think of your body as your home, right? If there was a fire in your living room, in that smoke would have eventually spread to other parts unless you addressed it early, really early, right? And so the reason I ask questions about their whole health history is because I understand this very simple concept that our whole body is connected to every part of our body. And I think that's what's missing in a lot of, it's a reductionist approach. We compartmentalize everything. We say have a different specialist for every body part and every organ. And, you know, my approach is that our physical body is really connected to our emotions, which is our feelings. It's something that we cannot see. We cannot see directly our emotions, but our body sees it by feeling this. So when people have, say, a gut issue, even, and it's not, okay, so let's relate to the pelvic floor. How I see the pelvic floor, why would someone see a pelvic floor therapist? If they have pain or dysfunction in their genital organs, their pelvic floor parts are responsible for bowel and bladder, stability of the lumbar spine, and our sexual function and delivering babies for women, right? And when there's a dysfunction or pain or restriction in these areas, we go see a pelvic floor therapist, as you should, as it is recommended in European countries. It's part of the protocol when you are pregnant and you have a baby. We're starting to wake up to that more in North America. But even still, it's not as common yet. People still don't know what pelvic floor therapy is and why you would see one, right? So so if someone comes to see me for their pelvic floor therapy, I don't just look at their pelvic floor. I look, when you think of that fire in the living room, it's going to affect the areas close by. It might affect the dining room and the kitchen closer than, you know, like further away. So then I look at, okay, their core, how are they breathing, their diaphragm. And then you look eventually at the whole picture. And so with, you know, why I ask is because energetically relating it back to the emotions, it's tied in. Like I believe, and this is not everybody's philosophy, but I believe that our emotions are connected to our body. And so when we look at the womb, for example, this is a birthplace, is where we house our babies before that we give the birth to them. And it's energetically related to creation and connection, right? We feed our babies in this very sacred place in our body. And so when someone presents to me, a woman who has pain in her pelvic floor and she's having period issues where she's bleeding excessively every month, and then I do the physical stuff and we're doing the right things and we look at the diet and we make sure, you know, it's anti-inflammatory and we're, you know, doing the right exercises, the pelvic floor strengthening or stretching, whatever we need to do, but it's still not optimal. To me, it's like energetically, what's going on in your relationship? that you are holding on to some sort of tension here. And every time it's, I'm not getting along with my husband. He's not, we're not on the same page. I'm walking on eggshells. I don't feel safe emotionally. I don't feel like he understands me. I don't feel like we're connecting. And so when we look into that, we go deeper into the relationship, your most intimate relationships with your children, with your partner, with your parents, that's how I started connecting it. Cause I have a very kind of spiritual, energetic approach to dealing with pelvic floor.
Yeah. That's so fascinating because like I've always said that my second son, I was in burnout and I was completely thoroughly depleted. And I've always said that my whole stress system, my whole body just did not have what it needed in order to give him the support in utero, that he was then born in burnout. And
can I just say thank you so much for saying that, because you just given so many women permission, maybe not even intentionally, because some people never wake up to that and be conscious to that.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's so huge that you see that. And I think that's such a beautiful thing for a mom to see. So thank you.
Thank you. That almost makes me tear up because it's one of those things where you have that guilt as well, though, that mom guilt of, wow, but I didn't know.
Of course. Like,
as you said earlier, I'd gone to the doctors, I'd gone to the specialist, I'd gone to everybody, and they're all, I was personal training at that time and I had a 6-pack abs. I looked.
Yes. Healthy, right.
But I was beyond exhausted. I struggled to do things. I had a short fuse. I couldn't handle any stressors in my environment. And my other child, like my kids are 19 months apart. So while I was pregnant, he was like 10 months to
yeah.
19 months.
Right.
Like in the winter, bending down to try to, and I was so sick. And it was just, yeah, it was this whole thing. And I realized now I was in full, complete burnout while I was pregnant. And so after having him, I have felt, and it's going away now as I've been working through a lot of emotional stuff and a lot of physical things and like all the, like, as you're saying, it's there's so many pieces. There's the mental side to it, but then there's like, what got me into burnout? How did I get there? But then also the hormones and all of that. But I felt like every time I had my cycle, like somebody had hit me between the legs with a baseball bat, like literally, like I could hardly stand because I felt so bruised in my pelvic area. And as you're saying now, I've never gone to a pelvic floor therapist. So, and that's the thing, as I'm like, I probably should have, definitely. But we hold all this in. And then this is something that's just happened to me in the past few weeks, is I've been diving into IFS, internal family systems, where we're working on parts. And it's something, I've always been the scientific, tactical, you know, strategic.
Logical, left brain.
Yes, all of that stuff. And as I've been diving more into the parts and more into the energy and everything that you're speaking of, this past week I found, which is a deep, deep emotion in me, that was actually a fetus. And it was me and my mother's fetus, where like I could feel the stress of my mother that was happening in the arguments between my parents and fetus. And I did work on that in the past few weeks in order to help release that. And I realized that affected my two pregnancies as well that I had, because I was carrying that legacy burden, that legacy trauma with me in those other two pregnancies, which then affected me carrying those pregnancies as well, and how I connected to them. That it's fascinating because I'm feeling this connection to birth, how I've never, and my pelvic floor, how I've never experienced it before. And this to me sounds so, I call it almost like woohoo-ish, but the more it is, I'm like accepting all of this and believing it and seeing it. And as you're saying, that's what you've done with your clients. And you've taken that experience of them being able to open up and talk to you and leading that into helping with the actual real stressors that were happening, which quite often are going on in their marriages.
Right. And it and their intimate relationships, relationship with parents and children, not, you know. And for a lot of, most of the time, I actually don't do internal pelvic floor therapy work because I don't think that's the cause. Like, I think when people have a tight pelvic floor, that's a symptom. That's a result of something deeper underlying. And so, you know, I've been to a pelvic floor physiotherapist where, you know, you lie in the bed, they put a cloth over you, they look at your pelvic floor, they do whatever, then they send you home with exercises. And it's still a reductionistic approach. Whereas I look at it as, okay, like as a whole being, how, what is this a symptom of? What is the real issue? What are the real root issues here? You know, and you've traced it back to, you know, your own childhood or experience in your mom's womb. And so, you know, it is for most people, we carry around all this trauma and trauma, you know, for, I'm sure your listeners know, but trauma isn't always a car accident or abuse or a rape. It's just unprocessed feelings that we hold on to. And so when people have pain, they're just holding on to this pain, not processing it, not feeling it, not, and just keep rejecting your body for feeling discomfort or pain. And so, you know, I think the people I see, they just don't have a way to express, and they don't even have a way of seeing it, just like you didn't know that you were in burnout. And it's not your fault, but the second you wake up to it and you see it, you acknowledging it is freeing yourself from it.
Yes.
You know, and a lot of people can never see it. Like, I've witnessed people around me, family and friends who've had children, had so much stress. I see what happens with their children. And even in my own, like my second child, it was more stressful than my first. And I was more stressed in that pregnancy than the second. I was aware of this. And so, you know, when he was more of a challenge, it was just like, oh, this is part of the territory, you know. So a lot of our issues in our body comes from our relationships, and it comes from the emotions we experience in the relationships. And if you spend a lot of time with people, that your intimate relationships, you're going to feel it in your body more.
Yeah, absolutely. And just as you're saying with kids, right? Like, so I've been diving down this whole rabbit hole of neurodiverse kids and 2E kids and their struggles. And then interestingly, as I've been diving into IFS more, I'm learning all about the parts and what their parts are believing and where they are. And I'm the more and more that I see this, the more that I am believing, and that my son's perfectionism, my son's struggling to want help with anything or to be coached with anything, and his nervous system dysregulation, that yes, those are signs of what we call neurodiversity, but I'm really moving down this path of how much of that is led to even legacy burdens that I put on him in vitro, and that and then also just as we've been going through things, like life happens, right? So when you are a very sensitive, caring, empathic child, when you are somebody that takes in a lot, things can get overwhelming quickly, which can become traumas, and those can then imprint in him, so he doesn't like change and needs to more time to adapt to things. So it's just fascinating how with all of that exactly as you've experienced, because I've always gone to all my tactical tools, like with you with physio, it would be okay, these are the exercises we do, these are the things that we do to help this. And with me too, it's like, okay, we're going to dive into gut and hormones, and we're going to work on your nervous system. And as you and I have spoke of as well, we still do bring in like breathing and, you know, cold therapy. We're just talking about cold showers and stuff because my hot water went out and things like that. Like, so we do bring in these tactical tools, so to say, but at the heart of a lot of this are the emotions, are the traumas, are the things that have happened that we may not have even realized affected us to a degree that they did. And those are affecting so much of our lives.
For sure. I mean, these tactical tools do help.
Yes.
And just like in any physiotherapy, when people come see me and I do acupuncture or I do a hands-on release or even give them exercises for them to do at home, they'll feel better for as long as they're doing it. But if they don't address the root cause, it will just keep coming back. So even just something as simple as your posture. If you have back pain because your posture is not aligned, you can do exercises to make you feel better. But if you're all, every time you sit, you're going to sit with bad posture, you're going to always have issues. So essentially, we're just addressing the trauma by saying, okay, if you understand that that's what it was and you can learn to let go of that and process that experience, then you don't have to carry around this burden anymore. You don't have to carry around this weight of holding on to something that you didn't even know you were holding on to.
Yes. Yeah. And then from there, then you can see what tools need to be used.
Right.
Yeah. Because if it's because then you're not having that push and pull as much anymore. You can see really what you need and where you are. Amazing. All right. So pelvic floor, you got into where you and your husband, you're like, hey, we need to be a team on this, because the spouses as well, the spouses are asking if your husband can speak with the husbands, and the wives are wanting to speak with you. So how did you navigate? Like, I'm sure there were some stumbling blocks in there too, to figure out what really works. So what did you try? And then how did you get to where you are now in what you know, like, works with these people, and where are you at?
Well, what we knew what would work for us, we knew what works for us.
Mm-hmm.
And we just use that as our kind of guiding, just way to help others. So what works for us and what would work for anybody is you have to work on your relationship with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
When you do that and you can approach your relationship from a, like, if you, people come to us because they want a closer, deeper, and stronger marriage. Great. That's a great goal. Let's work on having a closer, deeper, stronger relationship with yourself. How well do you understand your own body and your needs? How well can you stay calm when you're challenged? How well can you not judge yourself and be hard on yourself? When we work on that, then the relationship 100% of the time gets better, even mm-hmm. if one person does the work. And most of the time it's the women who want to do the work, because we believe that as women, it's more of our natural role to take care of the well-being of our family and the relationships with our family. We have more of a tendency, that's more of our feminine traits, to look at the relationships and the well-being of our family dynamics. So the women will tend to take the initiative to do that. And then when they want their husbands to join, if the husbands are willing, then they work with Brian, because it's hard. When the two of them, what they've been doing hasn't been working and trying to understand each other, they don't need more communication skills. And that's the thing. It's just like a lot of time people go to therapy or couples therapy because they're like, oh, we need more communication skills, better communication skills, because we don't understand each other. Actually, you don't need better communication skills with each other. You need better communication skills with yourself first, and then learn to speak to each other from your heart and not your head.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we help them with. And so it's a journey. It's not, you know, like a one session thing, and it's not a 12 session thing. It's a journey where they're doing the work. They're lifting the weights. They're doing the exercises, you know? Whereas when you go to couples therapy, it's just, you're just talking. You're just spending a lot of time talking, and you end up talking in circles. Or sometimes people get a lot of relief from therapy because someone's hearing them and they're the referee. So things are good in a container. If you're like, there's a referee, and then you're like, oh, okay. And then I'll say this, and then you do that. And then you go home in your home environment, and then none of that stuff works anymore, because you still don't know how to communicate with yourself, and you still don't know how to speak to each other from a place of heart. You're learning almost a script to say, you know, from a therapist. And so that's why that model doesn't work. It's a Band-Aid solution.
Yeah. And I'm thinking of just to, like, there's one point when you said that we don't know what we want anymore or what we like or what makes us happy. And my first thought was that often happens after having kids. But then I thought, does it though? Because did we really know beforehand, even of having kids, what truly, truly made us happy, what we truly wanted, and what we really needed?
Yeah, that's it right there, what you just said. We believe it's exacerbated with kids. There's more confusion and overwhelm and distraction with kids. But did we ever really know what we want, what our heart really wanted? And we believe, Brian and I, that the downfall of marriages, modern marriages, is this idea of what a modern marriage is supposed to look like. And so we lose ourselves in chasing that vision. You know, what is the marriage supposed to look like? What is that engagement? It starts with like the engagement, you know, probably even before, probably with dating, but it starts with the engagement, like buying a certain kind of ring and then planning this engagement party and then this wedding party for what? Like all of this is for appearances, right? And then you get the house and then the dog and then you have your jobs and then the promotions and all of it is chasing. And then you start to lose yourself already. Like the honeymoon stage disappears very early, even before kids, you know, and you lose yourself in what you want truly from your heart. And then you add kids and now there's another role. Okay, now I'm a mother and now I'm a father. Now I'm this, you know, executive at work, or I'm a leader, or I'm a chief. And like all of these roles add up and we lose ourselves further and further and further. And then we're lost completely. And the marriage falters and it's not each other's fault because it's easy to blame each other. It's really this, like we like to say, you know, we're losing a game that we didn't even know we were playing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then it's easy to look at the person you're around the most and say, well, it's your fault because it's not me. I didn't do this, but it's really this game. It's a prison, you know? And so when we woke up to that, like we went through it, it's like we were chasing all the things. And, you know, when we started getting mad at each other for certain things, when we were like, what is this about? Like, why are we turning against each other? Like, we love each other so much. It can't be each other. This is not it. And so he had to do his work of working on himself, getting a coach, me too, of working on myself, getting a coach. And we're like, oh, we're good. Like, cause we really know we're deeply connected with ourselves.
Yeah.
And so we tackle, like, you know, we're in the middle of a lawsuit where we're suing this landscaping company for, you know, losing $150,000. He got, you know, his former employer owes him a lot of money, like just lots of different things where we lost a lot of money on investments. And money seems to be the things that tends to break up relationships, right?
Yes.
But for us, it's like, okay, so we're in it together. So what are we doing from here? How can we grow from here? You know, and it's not about the money. It's just like, what are the lessons that we need to learn here? How can we grow and be better? And so we're always looking at it from that lens. And so when we're good, solid inside, the things we always say to each other, when we have tough times, because we still do, it's, we have everything. We have each other. We have our kids. We have this. If we're solid, if we're good within ourselves and we're good in our marriage and we're good in our family, we have everything.
Yeah.
We can, anything is possible. We can conquer this world if we want to. Like, we're the king and queen. Ryan likes to say, like, we're not here to settle for scraps. If we're playing this game of this big, I don't know, what was the word that he used, but we're playing this game where a lot of people are losing because they've been led on this path of chasing this life. And we're like, hey, we're not going to play that game. No, we're going to make our own game. You know what I mean?
No, this is, it's so fascinating because I had no idea what we were going to talk about today. I really didn't. And exactly what you just said was very similar to, I think, two podcast episodes ago.
Oh, okay.
Last week's podcast episode. And it's so fascinating because it was talking as well about getting lost in like losing yourself, losing who you are, but also chasing goals that and dreams, like as you're going for goals and dreams, like you imagine two kids, career, all these things. But when you get there, those things have changed, or what they look like are different than what you envisioned. But because they're your goals, you feel you have to continue doing them and going for them. It's so fascinating. Yeah, I broke all of that. Like, it's just so fascinating what you said.
At the
And
heart of it, I think that's the ultimate cause of stress.
yes.
But in marriages, what ends up happening is they turn against each other.
Yes.
And that's what happens in the animal kingdom. If you're in a state of stress, you turn on your own kind, And so we just realized that, and we're like, hey, we're on the same team. We're on the same team. Like, we are the leaders for our family. We're the king and queen. We're not going to be these peasants that have to be wait around for orders from our boss and from society, or being slaves to social media, drinking wine every night to calm ourselves. Like, all that life is like a prison. And so we were able to escape the matrix,
So I guess a question comes to mind is as you mentioned, it's not that both couples come into this at the same time necessarily. Sometimes they do, if I'm understanding correct. Sometimes it's one of them that will come first. Usually, as you've seen, it's usually the female in the relationship.
But we've had the other way too, but yes.
So if it's one individual coming, I guess I have two questions coming after this. No, so how do I word this? So, because I'm thinking too, because my next, and this is tying into my next podcast episode, where I have this thing that I say all the time, where when we have an agenda versus being in self. So when we're in self, that is where, okay, I am coming to work on this myself, not I'm coming to work on this so that my husband will fix his issues, right? Because that's your agenda. So I think of this too with kids. You have like, I want my son to work on his perfectionism and all of these things by actually trying to dive into his traumas, and that's like my agenda. That's not where he wants to be at all right now. So it's one of these things where, okay, so I guess if somebody's coming to you, and let's say they do have an agenda in a sense that my husband has to be coming to this, or I need to get him here, what advice would you give them on that? Let's start with that one.
So when, and that's common, it's I'm going to do this so that he sees this goodness in me, and then he's going to want to. And we're just very transparent and say, you're going to get whatever you're supposed to get out of this. And if you expect this to be transactional, that you do this and he's going to do this, that's going to work against you because he's going to feel that energy. But if you do this because you want this for your family, then you're going to get the most out of this process. Right? Because it's almost like I used this example the other day. It's just like if you were to donate to charity and you need the recognition that you donated. And it's like, do you want to help this charity or do you need the recognition? So this is what we say to people who are unsure if they want to do this on their own because their partner isn't ready or willing just yet. I said, do you want to work on this because it's going to help your family? Or do you want to do this because you want it to be tit for tat? It has to be transactional. You only do this if they're going to do this too. Right? And it's something for them to look at. And some people just won't be able to do it. They won't be able to do it unless their partner comes in. But for the people who do, again, we're fully transparent. The relationship isn't necessarily going to be saved, you know, but they're going to know that they did everything they could because they've worked on themselves. And that's all you could do at the end of the day. If you work on yourself, if he doesn't work on himself, well, you work on yourself, you're going to be calmer, you're going to be stronger, and you're going to be able to deal with whatever comes next in your relationship. You're going to have a better relationship with him because you have a better relationship with yourself. You know, when we have people who say, I'm so glad I did this work because I'm stronger. Like even one of our male clients recently just shared with us that he's lost weight. He's so much more fit. He feels confident. His business is getting better because he's worked on himself. But he, if you ask him, would say he fully went into this program expecting his wife to change because he was changing. But now that he's so much better, he's like, I don't care if she changed. I would like her to change, but I feel so good. And our relationship is better because it doesn't bother me as much. Like the stuff that she says, it doesn't affect him. And that's why the relationship is better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's fascinating because sometimes we think that the way for us to be happier is for our partner to be happier. Is for our partner to, like, it is hard when you love somebody and you see that they're running on a hamster wheel, that they're working crazy hours, that they're not getting time for themselves, that they're not, because of choices that they're making in their life, and you really want them to be better. And to think though that they need to make those changes for you to be happier. And that's
it's kind of crazy if you say it out loud.
Yeah.
It makes sense in your mind.
Yeah.
But like you know, if I think back to, you know, another client we had who same thing, chasing the hamster wheel. She was really busy with work. Her husband was really busy at work. And he wasn't the type of guy to get coaching, to work with something. But she's like, our family needs this. And I want to feel more calm. And she, like her husband was more stressed than she was. But she wanted to be there to support him better because his stress was making her stress. So we worked together. And after not that long, she started being healthier, started exercising, doing all the stuff. And she's a personal trainer, health professional too. So it's like nutritionist and all that stuff. And we tend to work with people who are most like us, right? Like, anyways, so that shift in the family, he's noticing it and he's like, oh, you're looking like you have a glow, you feel healthier. I should go to the gym. Like, I don't feel good. He starts going to the gym, working out, getting stronger and stuff. A couple months later, gets a promotion at work, $60,000 more a year, working less. It's like, it doesn't have to be, you know, we think, oh, in order to be better, we have to work that much harder. It's actually, no, you can do this from a place of working on yourself, making more time so you think you see things clearly and you have more productive work, you're more efficient, like all the stuff we know. But you don't see it when you're in it until one person makes that shift and it's contagious. That shift is contagious in the home.
Yeah. No, this is fascinating because, yeah, I am always working with individuals because I don't do the couples thing. Yeah. And as you're saying that, it is true that sometimes there is that shift in the other people. Like, well, the kids feel it. The kids are less stressed.
Sure.
Definitely changes how things are flowing and going in the house. The way that all the transactions, and it really does affect absolutely everything in the house with that, starting with the one. And then if the other does come to you then too, as you said, like that's when you become like that super powerhouse that, you know, when you both really are, you can conquer anything together. Absolutely. Yeah. No, that completely makes it, as you said, there's certain things you say to yourself in your head that out loud don't make sense. So needed to hear that. All right. I don't know. Is there anything else that our audience needs to know? We haven't even said anything about sleep, but I think we've covered so much on stress. But
yeah. In a nutshell, how it affects sleep is that when you feel good in you and you can find inner peace, then you can sleep better.
Yeah.
Even if your partner isn't ready, and they might not be ready. Like, a lot of what we teach and walk our clients through is how to let go of that control. Because the person who comes in, who says, oh, my partner needs this, it's actually them who needs it. Because you're trying to control what your partner does. And that energy is a thing that's limiting your relationship.
The agenda versus self.
Right. So when you can let go, and that's what we walk our clients through, is just like letting go of that need to control your partner, even though it's controlling them for good, you want better for them. You know, they could be healthier. You know, they could be stronger. You know that they could make more money. If only they would just do this, right? Like, if only they just did these things and they slept better and they would be less stressed. It's just like that anxiety, that pressure on your partner, they feel it, is what holds them back. So when you learn to let go, you let it go for your family, because you can feel better, you sleep better, and then your partner will feel better because you're not trying to control them. Then that's what happened in our marriage, is that I'm the more controlling one by nature. Like, you know, you should do this and that and this, and giving orders and commands, and him trying to be a good husband and listening to me. And then I was still never happy. And it's just like, okay, we're not winning here. Like, this isn't working. So it's like, I had to learn to deal with my own stuff and learn to let go of my need to control all the things. And he had to learn how to step up and take command of certain situations and not just wait around for me to tell him what to do all the time. Then we both slept better.
Yeah.
A lot better. We have Oura Rings. We know, like, our sleep is amazing because we can let things go, you know, and you can do that in your relationship.
Yeah. Speaking of Oura Rings, so I do talk a lot about Oura Rings, Whoop bands. I use both to track for clients. So do you have clients that come to you with an Oura Ring or with a health, with a Whoop band? And then do you see their stats change after working with you?
No, I don't really incorporate it that way, but if they happen to have one, then I ask about it. And then yes, what will change the most is their deep sleep.
Yes.
Well, when you have inner peace, you will have better deep sleep and you'll heal better. So then that relates to their pain and they'll have less pain. So, you know, not everybody wants to go buy an Oura Ring or like a Fitbit or whatever, but yeah.
Yeah. No, with me too. It's when clients come and have it, then I'm like, ooh, let's check out your stats. Let's see what's helping you and not. Amazing. All right. This has been absolutely helpful definitely for my audience. I know that I've learned a few little nuggets in here about what was in my head versus what I was saying out loud. Definitely. Before we go, is there one last thing that you would like to say? If there is somebody here who's struggling in their relationship, is there any advice or thoughts or what calls to you to say to them right now?
What I would say is that you aren't alone and it's not your fault. And I know we hear this a lot, but marital struggles, it like doing the work as a pelvic floor physiotherapist. And when we started asking these intimate questions, I was blown away by the number of people. Like, this is the majority of the case. Of course, I'm seeing, you know, a special population with, they're coming to see me with pelvic floor issues, but the number of men and women who struggle with their intimate relationships. It was 95% of the cases, maybe if not 100%, you know. And I was just blown away by the number of people in their 40s who stop having sex, who don't feel attracted to their partner, who feel not safe enough to share their emotions, their dreams, their fears with their partners. This is the normal, as in it's very common, but it doesn't have to be this way. And it's actually not the healthy way to be.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people are just like, well, that's just our relationship. We're best friends.
Yeah.
When we're married with someone, we choose them to be our partner mentally, physically, and emotionally. They're not just our best friends. If you're lacking that in your relationship, it's a problem.
Yeah.
And you can do something about it if you choose to. It's absolutely possible. So that's what I say. And to reach out for help. And, you know, just putting up your hand and saying, hey, I want to know more. That, even if you don't get the help, you're energetically putting it out in the universe saying, I don't have it all figured out. And I'm humble enough and brave enough to say and recognize that this is a problem, just like what you did. You're like, hey, I had burnout in my second pregnancy. It's just be able to raise your hand and say, this is me. I'm going to get help. So you can send us a DM, goldenmarriage@goldenmarriage.88, or send us an email, connect@thegoldenmarriage.com, and ask us a question or just reach out and say, I can resonate with what you said. We can get a conversation going, because talking about it brings light to the situation. We can bring light to it. Even if we never do anything with that, at least they know. At least they know that they aren't alone. And that's what we're here to share.
Yeah, absolutely. So I will have your email and goldenmarriage.88 or
goldenmarriage.88
on Instagram and on Facebook, but I'll put both of those. I'll put those three links in the show notes below. So just go to the show notes if you would like to reach out to Nancy. And yeah, thank you so much for being here today. This was a very, very important topic to be talking about.
Thank you.
Wait, before you go, if you found this podcast valuable, please consider liking and subscribing. Your support helps others discover these insights too. And if you're ready to transform your sleep and stress management and would like to see if we are a good fit with one another, let's chat. The link to my calendar is in the show notes below. Let's connect and start your journey to calm nights and strong days now. Until next time, sleep peacefully and stay resilient.